V-16. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Quite understandably, but equally overwhelmingly, everyone gathered tightly around Dan as his expression remained more focused than any they had ever seen before. "I can't hear anything else," he said, straining his closed eyes tighter and tighter in an effort to change that. "They just said it's not them and that the squadron aren't our friends. They're hostile, but I don't know who to. Us, the ELF, the messengers. The connection is gone. Like, it just stopped working."
"Did you just say squadron?" Clark asked.
The question was so short and clear it broke through many more that the others had been throwing at Dan while he strained silently. The depth of Clark's voice helped, too. Dan's eyes opened. He looked straight at Clark and nodded.
"Definitely. They said the squadron, clear as day."
"They must know the military connotations of that word," Clark said, turning to Emma and blowing air from his lips. "But either way, one craft isn't a squadron."
"The squadron," Dan replied, like this distinction was a lot more important than it sounded. "The way they said it, it seems like the squadron is the name they use for this race or group or whoever the hell is inside that thing, just like we call them the messengers. There aren't necessarily going to be more ships."
Phil Norris, standing stoically with his arms folded, offered up a thought that had been uttered by all kinds of people in alien-related discussions since Dan first found Richard Walker's folder on Winchester Street to kick the whole thing off.
"If those things wanted to hurt us, we'd already be dead."
No one immediately took issue with this, even Dan, but Emma sat down and lifted her phone from her pocket. The point Phil made was such a familiar one, it made her mind wonder what everyone else was saying right now. She opened her social media meta-analysis app and perused data regarding the immediate public reaction. Words like fear and invasion dominated the word cloud, but the presence of others like comet and helped suggested that a lot of users were bearing in mind that the messengers had a history of benevolence. What they didn't know, of course, was that the messengers had just told Dan the mothership wasn't theirs. The highlighted, top-trending post of the moment was from the actress Caitlin Judd. "I've seen this movie before, and the aliens who arrive in something looking like that aren't usually the kind who challenge us to a game of basketball." Due to the mixed reactions coming in to the unfolding events in China, the estimated overall mood of related discussion fell within the section of the SMMA spectrum marked apprehensive excitement. Had the whole world known what those inside the McCarthy family living room knew, Emma imagined the fear levels would be off the charts.
"Maybe we should tell Slater and Godfrey what the messengers just told you,"
Tara suddenly interjected.
"Because, Dan, if these things are hostile?"
Dan looked at her with a conflicted expression on his face.
"I know, but Phil just said it best. They're here and they're not attacking us."
"Well," Emma said, looking up from her phone, "they're not here. They're in China. There is a chance, just a chance, that they're either only hostile to the ELF or they're only going to be friendly with the ELF, which could make them hostile to us. And I wasn't in your head when you heard the words, but for the messengers to use a term like the squadron, that makes me think these things might at least be the same kind of aliens, you know, race, species, whatever you'd call it. Maybe, I don't know, a different faction. If their elders are dead or still just unresponsive, there could be a power vacuum on New Kerguelen."
"Jesus," Clark groaned. "Just what we need, more goddamn factions."
"I'm just spitballing. I don't necessarily think this is right," Emma said, trying to reassure him.
With Dan no longer surrounded like the weirdest animal in the zoo now that the others knew he had lost his connection to the messengers, he set off towards the basement, neither trying to be noticed or caring if he wasn't.
"Why are you going back down there?"
Tara asked, rising and rushing to catch up with Dan. She held onto his arm.
"I just want to find out if he knows anything else," Dan said.
"Don't worry, I'll close the door behind me. You won't have to hear his voice or anything." Tara shrugged.
"It's not that. It's just, how would it even make sense for him to know anything else? They just arrived."
Dan searched for a response.
Well, maybe there's,
He stammered for a few seconds before sighing deeply. Everyone was looking at him again.
I don't even know.
Look, Mr. Bird called, his ever softly spoken voice at odds with the urgent and sharp tone. Apparently, having been the only one not looking at Dan, he had been the first to see what was happening now in China. Whatever the newly unfolding scenes precisely meant, they were anything but a welcome sight. Dan could only gulp. From beside the couch, Clark summed it up best.
Well, I guess now we know why the messengers called them the Squadron.